Shut up. The foot is over radio.
Tools down.
You've all had a big busy week.
Radio on.
Look how happy they are.
Triple M footy roars into the weekend.
Oh, it's red hot.
Game on. Don't take risks while driving. Chances are you'll be caught. A message from the TAC.
This is the Friday Huddle. For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Footy's back and don't we love it? The full team assembled tonight at the Gabba, the preliminary final replay. The Blues taking on the grand finalists, the Lions. Massive show coming your way. Guess we've got them. Steve Kernahan in this box. Ange Christou in here. Danny Green, the boxer, to talk about our own boxer. But I look around. It's been a busy summer and I've missed these gentlemen enormously. I look immediately to our captain, who I presume is still our captain. Fresh back from 3 months in Indonesia. The great man Luke Darcy. Is he looking good? Hello, Darcy.
Hey, Harry. Great to be here. Real positive energy around the Friday huddle. Coming into the Gabba, we insisted on getting here early. Being prepared, got a good feeling about 2024 around, Howie.
We did struggle to get into the ground, but we are here now. I look to my left and one of my heroes is in the New York Yankees cap. He's got a 1985 pair of denim shorts on, some retro T-shirt. He's got the beard. He looks good.
And he nearly came unstuck with his double plunger thongs on the way in too.
And they didn't recognise him when we couldn't get him, which I found extraordinary because he's the King of Queensland.
Who got us in?
You did. Hello, Jason. I've missed
Hello, Mark. It's great to be back, isn't it? Another season's upon us. We don't know what's going to happen. We kicked it off last night. We've got plenty to talk about. But everywhere I look at the moment, I keep seeing one face.
Yes.
You can introduce him.
Well, I...
Because I can't. I've had too much of him.
You need a name when you're a fighter. You need a name.
You do, don't you?
And it's open to debate. My early one is I introduce the Brown Bomber himself.
The Brown Nathan Bomber. Brown.
He looks good. Yeah. He's got a good amount of hair on top. He has not got a wrinkle. He's primed. He's lost weight and he's ready to fight. We'll get to that. But Nathan, nice to see you.
Good to be here. Can't wait for this game. And I love travelling. Since COVID, we haven't travelled a lot. So to get away with you guys, I've been excited about it. Damo's got the stubble and I love travelling with the Chief. It's just, I could sit there all day and watch the Chief. That could be a TV show that I'd love to invent. Watch the Chief. It is unmissable.
And you were sitting there enjoying yourself a moment ago, Nathan. You looked up at the screen and he said, geez, I look well, don't I? Almost like a thought bubble that came out loud.
He's everywhere at the moment. You just can't get away from him. And he is looking ripped and shredded. You should see him on the tennis court. He's doing ridiculous things.
Second segment, we will talk about the great fight between Nathan Brown and Kane Corns. But I look across here and a man that's done everything in football, he's playing the role of our boundary rider tonight, which I'm looking forward to because he loves to travel and get on the boundary. Damien Barrett is here with Stubble, a man that looks fresh, relaxed and go. Hello.
Hello, how are you? And all organised for the start of this season until you threw a little curveball amongst the group about an hour and a half ago, not realising Brisbane was an hour ahead of Melbourne and you were going to have us in a car getting to the ground sometime in the first quarter. So, yeah, so thanks for confusing me.
We would have had to pull Juddy in to do the opener, which wouldn't have been good. Hey, we'll talk.
Before we get to that, you feel like footy's back when we're out the front of the airport waiting for the car and we couldn't find the car. So I was on the phone, Damo was walking along trying to find the guy with the car and all of a sudden there's a lot of Carlton supporters there and I hear this. You're a knob, Barrett.
I didn't hear that.
It's been a big summer. We'll talk about that momentarily, but we need to talk about the football. Chief will tell us about last night's game in a moment. But Damo, breaking news out of the Kangaroos. The AFL have had a discussion and have sanctioned Alistair Clarkson.
By the tune of $20,000, Sally, it's a significant fine. And I think it's a worthy one. I'll get the guys' opinions off it in a moment. On top of the $20,000 fine, it's a two-match suspended sentence, which takes in the 2024 and 2025 season. So another infringement in this space will incur that two-match ban. He also needs to go through a course, according to the Pride in Sport course, and this is in relation, obviously, in the aftermath of the Jimmy Webster hit on Jai Simpkin at Moorabbin last Sunday. Clarkson, about a minute or 2 minutes after that incident at the quarter time break, directed words at Webster, and Dougal Howard responded on Webster's behalf, and then Clarkson, and I'm not going to raise the word on this program tonight. People can see it online, but that was the word in question. It's got a homophobic connotation, and I think the AFL had no choice but to do what they've done today. Other people have different views and different takes on it, and I'm to get these guys' views on it.
Oh, it's an emotional sport we play, Damo, and that's not to diminish that. We've all got to probably change the nature of how we respond, but you know, Clarko's got incredible history in the game. I'm sure it's one he'd like to take back. But I get we're going to have these things happen when you see a player get taken out, one of your own, in that way there's emotions that run hot, and that's not to say that you don't have to conduct yourself better. I'm sure Clarko would like to take that time again, but the fine's there and you move on.
Yeah, I think that's the case. And he has apologised in advance of it and has apologised again as part of this statement. But officially, Howie, it's a breach of the conduct unbecoming rules, which is the, you know, the most serious rule the AFL can use against you.
And what was the part of the suspended?
Takes in the remainder or the completion of 2024 and 2025, and it's a two-match ban hanging over his head. He's got a long rap sheet, and that was part of the AFL's considerations as well.
I mean, it's the right whack, though, isn't it?
I feel it is. I think we all agree.
I feel it is, yeah.
I feel it in the context of what he's done in the past.
Yep.
And the word that was used, you cannot use the word in any workplace in the land in any circumstance, and I think that's what they've worked backwards from.
Yeah, I think we all know it's an emotional game, and we love coaches sticking up for players, but you can't do it that way. He did it the complete wrong way. And these days, you've got to be so careful with what you say. You're better off dropping an F-bomb, or you could have got away with calling him a C-bomb and would have been in a lot less trouble. So you've just got to pick and choose. But, you know, we don't like seeing what happened to Jai Simka.
No.
That is the worst part of it.
And for those just catching up with that story, a seven-week ban for Jimmy Webster on the Simkin hit, and Simkin to miss round one, Howie, that being his third concussion inside the past season of football.
Which concussion is be something we'll be discussing all year on this show, no doubt. Now, Chiefy, you were at the football last night. I saw you heading up the Fox coverage. Melbourne versus Sydney. What did you think of it? How was Brody Grundy? Are we seeing a new style of football this year? What's your summation, Guru?
Brody Grundy was a star. Everyone was thinking he's going to have it a tough job up against Max Gorn, who's the premier ruckman in the competition. He just wore him down over the four quarters and in the end was best man on the ground, Brody. He was exceptional. He just worked and worked and worked, and in the end, Big Max looked tired. He was powerless to stop Brody doing what he did. Sydney were impressive. It was amazing to see a packed house at the SCG. I mean, they're embracing all their fans, the big walk they did with the entire team coming down. They introduced a lot of past champions of the club. Brought out the Premiership Cups, all that sort of thing. It was a great celebration to launch the season officially. And I think Sydney showed us, minus two or three of their best midfielders. There was no Callum Mills, there was no Taylor Adams, there was no Luke Parker, who were pretty important players. But the youngsters stepped up. Errol Goulden picked up where he left off last year. He's a superstar. His second half was exceptional. The fourth quarter of Chad Warner, he's got some special talents as well. But they're a disciplined lot, and they get the job done, Sydney.
Oh, I know you want to talk football, but our producers just said in my ear, switch into the funny stuff now. Now, I don't particularly what that entails with you blokes.
Just into the funny stuff.
Into the funny. He told us last year to talk more football.
Well, before we get into the any sort of funny,
we've got funny stuff.
Have we got hilarity?
I don't think so.
Comedy in this box, from what I've observed over the last decade, Howie.
6 years.
But we need to acknowledge a big milestone in the off-season, Howie. And I know you didn't want to celebrate, but our friend Mark Howie turned 50 in the off-season.
Howie. Congratulations.
Took a private boat overseas, celebrated.
I left the country to avoid it. I left the country to avoid it. And then one of the blokes I was with saw my passport when he was booking flights, and I got up on my 50th, ready to surf at 6:15 in the morning, and they all had happy birthday, Howie, T-shirts.
Nice. And who are you hobnobbing? What celebrities were you hobnobbing with overseas?
Just a couple of mates from Bowen Head and a mate from West Australia.
And who is your mate from Western Australia?
Is he Brownlow medalist? Times two?
A two-time Brownlow medalist, yes.
Yeah.
And get on him.
And does
get
he have
on
a name?
Him. Fife. No, he went with Fifey, who he loves to surf. You know the thing about Nathan, at one stage we were all surfing and the surf bloke said, it was quite big that day. The only day it was big, Chiefy. And he's like, where's Nathan? I'm a bit worried about Nathan. I said, you don't need to be concerned about Nathan. He's a very capable man. And we're probably surfing 200 metres off the beach. I look on the beach and it's like jungle. I'm talking a jungle island off the back of Indonesia. It's 4,000 degrees. There's mosquitoes as big as your arm. And Nathan has found a couple of bits. He's paddled into the shore. He's found a couple of bits of vine. He's attached them to two logs. And he's walking up and down this beach doing leg squats for a good half an hour. One of the more extraordinary things I've seen. So very
Fifey.
How are you going to celebrate these moments, Howie?
Well, this is what I've been told.
You've got to get involved.
Because you didn't invite anyone to your wedding. He just got out of the blue, got married,
It was a birthday. Invited Tunners, he didn't turn up. But anyway, so apart from that, great summer. But I'm more interested in what you blokes have been up to, Chief. I'm always fascinated by your off-season exploits.
It's the same as always. Plenty of time up in Queensland prior to Christmas.
Yes.
And then went skiing with the family, with my brothers and nephews, end of Jan.
Where did you go skiing, Chiefy?
But a couple of weeks in Canada.
What do you wear on the slopes? You're a fluoro man. What do you go with?
Ski gear, Howie.
Okay. Do you snowboard?
It's not unheard of in the snow.
Yeah, but
because if you don't dress properly, mate, you're not going to enjoy it. Let me tell you.
An abominable snowman.
You want to get that out right? An abominable snowman. You idiot.
You snowboard or you ski, Chieftain?
Ski.
Ski.
We don't like boarding.
And just out of 10, how is your off period?
Oh, great. Brilliant.
Right. Yeah, big milestone.
9 out of 10.
Big milestone for you this year.
Yes.
What's that?
You're turning 60.
You are. We throughout the year are going to celebrate it.
I'll be out in a boat
on a weekly basis.
We're going to be celebrating.
I'll be doing a Howie.
I'm going to
get a boat for the day out on Port Phillip Bay and just stay away
on your own.
Yeah.
This year we're going to get people from your history, Chief. We're going to introduce them to the show. We're going to delve into some of your greatest moments.
That'd be silly.
Nathan. Welcome back to you, New York, Christina. You re-fell in love again.
We never fell out of love.
They just keep taking it to new heights.
Yeah, they do.
And some nice Instagram posts declaring your love for your wife, which I always enjoy.
You're making it hard for all of us declaring that much love for Christina. You understand?
I think it's fake. I think it's fake.
Although the thing is, half of the gestures, Christina actually doing things for Nate, which is sickening.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't get what she's getting in return.
Correct.
This.
Yeah, a little hat.
On this, pointing at his body now that he's shaping up the brown bomber.
It was great. We went to New York and then with no kids, we went up to Canada and we went skiing at a place called Mont Tremblant.
Which the beautiful bride organised the ski trip, didn't she?
4 days, yeah. She organised it for my birthday. So
wow,
it was an amazing time and it was good to reconnect.
What's the secret to still being so obviously in love?
Just communication, Damo. Oh. I think
I've got that side of it worked out.
On a regular basis.
Now, Nate.
And actually asking her how she is every now and again. I mean, I talk to her. I don't know what you blokes do at home,
Nate,
when
you're
talking.
Can we just remind you?
But I actually speak to her,
Nate,
and
you
I
can't
ask her
talk to anyone.
Is.
Chief, 7 years ago.
You used to post-it notes on your hands to remind yourself what to ask her.
Written by us.
Yeah.
When God is for you, who can be against you?
Well, now we're tapping
you. He needs fillers for normal conversation. But tell us.
With people I don't know.
Tell us there was, I'm hearing there was a bit of spa activity going on.
Yeah, we had a spa. Yeah, there was a big spa outside the hotel, -5 degrees. The spa was about 39, 40 degrees. The drinks came around and set a few drinks.
Every day, Chief.
Was there any spas on your holidays, Chief?
We had a spa on the balcony of our lodge, absolutely.
You and your brother?
Yeah, we have a beer in there at the end of every ski day. A couple of beers, in fact.
Nate, diving back into your communication with you and Christina, just getting a little more micro, what can you give the Triple M family more sort of tips? How do you communicate?
Relationship
to
advice.
To be as loved up as you and Christina are.
I just ask her about her day. I take an interest in what she's doing, and when she's going into one of those big, long-winded stories, I will listen and I will take it in, and then I'll ask questions on the back of it. I don't zone out like you do, Duke.
You know what?
Oh, I'm writing notes.
There is. I'm telling you, right, Duke. There's a book in this.
There is.
I think there is a book. How to Have a Happy Marriage by Nathan Brown. It would be a bestseller.
Well, his mum wrote a book about it. He can write a book about marriage.
Those interested in the fight, we're going to be speaking to Danny Green and Nathan in depth about how his training's going. Das, a bit of time at Sukhavati for you.
Australia's favourite health retreat.
Yep.
Howie up there in Bali.
How do we book?
Nice with the family. Jump on to the Sukhavati website.
And hard to spell.
It is a little bit. It means a boat of peace, Howie.
Oh, of course it does.
For those that are interested.
I've been enjoying your work on House of Wellness this summer. I've seen you on the telly everywhere.
Had a good start to the year on the House of Wellness. And
Howie's the one.
What's Howie doing? Oh, hang on a minute, Chief.
Just because he likes it. Howie, look at
him. Howie's the one.
Howie's the one.
The one viewer.
Oh.
Look at Chief.
He likes it too.
Chief. Yeah.
I've never seen Chief laugh at one of his own gags.
Because it was one of those that took people a while to actually register.
This is a man who's seen off 15 competitors on a Sunday night. He's feeling good about himself.
No.
And then I went up to a little place called Courchevel in the French Alps. So I did a bit of skiing as well.
Tell us about that.
Yes.
You're with a former teammate who is now a multi millionaire.
Well, not get into the financial arrangement, Howie. But no, it was great. Great.
How were you met at the airport, Jude?
In Paris.
Flew into Europe, Chief, and then found our way up to the French Alps.
You once took a helicopter from the city
were
to
you
the Wind
met,
Noble.
Met by
did
a
you
helicopter?
Use a similar form of transport overseas?
He's worth about 120.
120 mil. Well, Craig Ellis, we're talking.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
No, he's just giving us Forbes estimate.
So you got picked up by a helicopter.
And had a great time up there.
No, tell us about the helicopter.
Well, that was a nice way to get there.
Is it a big helicopter?
Big enough to get me up there. Get me back down in one piece.
It's just the two of you?
Just the two of us. It was
you have spars as well?
No spars. Right. No spars. No, but plenty of time on the snow, Chief. Beautiful.
And it was a good season too, apparently, over there.
Damo, I always like hearing what you've been up to over summer because Damo's your modern-day Albie Mangles. He's very adventurous. He likes to really see the world. Where'd you go, Damo?
No, I went to the Gold Coast twice, Howie. Very simple off-season for me, but enjoyed it. Got the youngest one into year 12 this year, so we just thought we'd stay local and keep an eye on proceedings there.
Did you venture into surface, Damo?
Well, past surface, Darce. Had a nice little trek between where I was staying right the way down to Main Beach and also the other way up to Burley.
Did someone at the races tell you how sexy you look with that beard? Did that happen, Damo?
At the Gold Coast races?
No, at the Melbourne races.
In the off-season?
Yes. He's going to have a look at him.
You're an idiot.
He's very happy with his beard.
He's got a bit of Richard Gere about him.
Yeah.
Is Janine aware of someone saying that to you, Damo?
I think you told her, didn't you?
Who said that to him?
Just some people we met that Damo,
some admirers,
amazingly invited back for a drink. We didn't know them back to Duke's pub.
You were rubbed about that, weren't you?
I didn't know. This is people I can't talk to, and Damo out of the blue invited them.
I was
so
just
we're
being
standing
nice.
There, me, Damo, the big nose producer, and two people we got no idea who they are, and there was zero conversation.
That's not your strong point, Nathan.
No.
You had no fillers, no little post-it notes.
None at all. For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy. People think I've got the best job in the world right now that I get to fight Kane Corns.
I'm always sort of up for a physical challenge and something different. Maybe I was running 180Ks a week and training for marathons for 8 years.
He is a physical specimen who's meant to be the elite of the elite. He'll soon slow down when he gets one in the solar plexus, won't he? And then follow up on the chin. So, Kano, I know you're fit, but it's coming, son. This fight definitely finished with me getting my hand raised, and I refuse to go down to Kane Corns.
Wednesday, April 3.
The sizzle.
The House of Stoush in Adelaide is going to light up when two of the biggest media personalities this country has ever seen, the Brown Bomber, Nathan Brown, and Kane, the Undertaker Corns is what I'm going to go with. Come head-to-head, Chief, you're our, before we get to our man, you're our pugilistic expert. Where are you seeing the early odds?
Well, we're talking about the sweet science here, aren't we?
Yep.
They're not heavyweights that are just going to smash each other. There's some science and technique. This is about sparring, protecting yourself, landing the jab and getting some combinations going. And by all reports, and I'm getting some out of both camps, they've both been impressive in the build-up, but Nate's doing some pretty good work with his hands.
There's a lot more emotion attached to it, Chief. That's a very line and length description. How many people have contacted you and said the whole of the football industry is on your side and that many people had wanted the opportunity to maybe step in the ring with Kane?
I reckon there's been at least 15 current and former players
who've
reached out via text.
Name a couple.
Can I allude to one of them?
I ran into Jordan DeGoey.
That's the one I was going to
say. Yeah, Jordan DeGoey, very, very keen on seeing me win and was very, very pointed at saying, and if you don't win, you're going to be the embarrassment of the whole AFL. If you lose to him,
true.
You may as well not turn up next week. Brock McLean was another one who texted me out of the blues.
Right.
Just a lot of people from all walks of life.
Are you feeling that pressure?
Old ladies walking down the street. Nathan, you're boxing. Make sure you get him.
Right.
Are you feeling that pressure? Because it's a lot of people.
It is pressure, and no more pressure than in this room, because I want to serve you guys well, because I know that you're in my corner.
Until
you're not.
No, we're there.
But how much technique have you learned? Because there's a lot of technique involved here.
Been training pretty solid for about 3 months. Started around 89 kilos. I'm about a tick under 83 at the moment. So,
but in terms of your ring craft and the ability to put together combinations and have your body in the right position, from when you started to where you are now?
That's the hardest part, and I have learnt a lot, but there's so much to think about keeping your hands up, and the footwork has been the thing that I've needed to focus on the most, because being an amateur, which I'm very much an amateur, you tend to lose your footing a little bit, and then when you do lose your footing, someone good, you know what's going to happen. But obviously Kane and me are going to be very similar, but it's been the footwork and knowing not to put your chin up at the wrong time.
Like, we talk to coaches, and coaches have done all the work through pre-season, worked their players hard, and you think you're ready to go, but until you've played the first game, and you actually see what you're putting into practice, you don't quite know how prepared you are. And until you guys actually hop in the ring, you've done so much work, but until you're under the fire of someone else hitting your back and trying to think about the things you need to do, you actually won't know how good the preparation
is. Oh, it's funny you say that, Chief, because I heard that Nath was sparring a lot with Kane Pettifer, a very accomplished boxer, and he was dropping in confidence, I've been told. And then they threw out what apparently they call in the industry a bit of a ring bunny that Nath could chop into.
Jump.
He found a jump.
Just to get a live kill.
Yeah, truth, mate.
Oh, no.
I've got a couple of good ones in. He asked to take a break, but he got me with a couple of good ones as well. But I've enjoyed the training. The training has been the best part of it, like getting fit again. And I tell you what, I'm nervous for the first time since I reckon I played my last game of AFL football, apart from walking down the aisle at my wedding. So it's good to feel those nerves again. And I went through a session yesterday, 12 two-minute rounds, where it was the air bike for a minute, and then you got off stuffed, and then you actually boxed. And it was to, apparently a lot of boxers lose their legs very early. Yep. So that's the one thing that we've been working on.
We all played with footy players, Damo, that terrible at all other sports. Could play footy exceptionally well, but just no other ability to play. Nate is in the other bracket. Mm. He's a bit good at everything that he does. He's a very good tennis player, bowls a very good leg spinner if required. Have you found you've adapted to the sport of boxing? Have you found you've picked it up pretty quickly?
I'm not going to lie and say I feel like I'm a boxer. I'm not going to disrespect the boxers because they do an enormous amount of work, but I feel like I've done enough work.
There's a bit of confidence there, Duke.
To get the job done, Duke.
Oh, I like wow. It.
All right. When we think boxing in this country, I think one man, his name is Danny Green. He's these days based in Margaret River, where he surfs enormous waves day in, day out. He is involved in all this operation. Mark out here, Danny. Welcome to the Friday Huddle. How are you, great man?
Good afternoon, boys. It's a stacked house in there, and I just heard the Chief talk about the science, the sweet science. I think the degree of science goes to about a level of paracetamol with a mix of H2O, fellas.
Danny, you've studied boxers all around the world. You've taken on the best. You've been a world champion. How are you seeing the early development of this fight between Corns and Brown?
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. Look, you know, I saw the boys down at the press conference last week in Adelaide, and Sam LeBrun is the promoter there with Nick Sklarakis, and the boys are putting on a really good show. You know, there's a really good mix of boxing in it. The football players are there for the profile, but this Kane Corns Brownie fight, Brownie, I'm getting some good mail, some pretty good mail that Corns is training very, very well, and he's mentioned to me one of your weak spots, and I'm not going to tell anyone actually, because I think Kane is quietly extremely confident.
It sounds like Danny's almost in the other camp. Hey, Danny, got to ask you a question. How much craft can these boys actually learn in a 3 or 4 month program?
About as much as you get in a 500-gram block of cheese at the supermarket. the boys, look, they're both supreme athletes, and boxing's a very, you know, it's a very technical sport, and I think the lads have, you know, at the press conference, I got to say one thing, the lads at the press conference were very respectful and commending, you know, fighters like myself and anyone who boxes for a living or does it, you know, at a high level. But what people don't understand is, like, I was like, yeah, boys, that's right, thank you very much for the respect. But if I was to go out and play a game of footy, well, the only time I'd touch the ball is if someone kicked it onto me on the mark. And secondly, I wouldn't be able to keep up with them for 3 or 4 minutes. It's all horses for courses. So you guys that have had an AFL career or are still playing AFL, you know, extreme athletes, but boxing's totally different. And these guys are all aware of it, and they're paying the sport a lot of respect by making sure that they're training and preparing. For instance, big Corey McKernan was over in Perth training with a mate of mine, Big Rick, in the gym while he's on holiday. He's making sure he's getting sparring, he's training. And so, you know, I think these guys that have signed up for the boxing, and look, you know, make no mistake, Cornsley is a supreme athlete. You know, he really looks after himself. He's in really good nick, and I saw you down there, Brownie, you're in good nick too, mate. So, yeah, it's going to be very interesting, and I think the people watching the fight are going to get a surprise because you guys are all super competitive. That's why you made it to the elite level of your sport for such a long time, and that comes with that immense competitiveness, and I think the fans are going to see that competitiveness shine out on the night because these guys are going to make sure they've prepared well.
You're hearing the voice of Danny Green, one of the all-time greats of Australian boxing, former world champion. Nate's motivation, Greeny, worries me a little bit in that he's doing this solely for cash and no other reason. Does that concern you? Do you need to have a bit more passion than just pure money?
I get asked all the time, or some mug down the local supermarket say, mate, you ain't there for the money. I'm like, oh, you're funny. That's my title was actually a professional fighter. I'm a prize fighter. You're dead right, mate. Tick to you. Well done. So, you know, look, I think, Brownie, you may want a bit more motivation, because I think Cornsey's motivation lies less in the loot and more in you know, putting a couple on your chin.
Just a last couple of words, Danny. Who wins it?
I think I've been pretty clear, haven't I, boys?
Yes! Danny, we appreciate your time. We'll see you at the fight. Good man.
I'm worried for our man on
Thanks,
the back
Danny.
Of that.
That's the great Danny Green.
What a ripper.
Taking the wind out of the base.
Hey, we haven't heard from Nate yet.
No.
Okay, I've got no problems.
It can be a bit ugly. Is Leroy trying to wrap this up? Just hold the music for a sec, Leroy.
Tell him to pack another one. Pack another one,
Leroy. I felt like Danny's definitely in the South Australian camp.
Damo, we broke this story 3.5 years ago. COVID
took a while for
away.
It to happen. But yeah.
Are you hearing, because you know, it's not nice to talk money, but that's what people want to know, how much is Nathan getting paid? I'm hearing he's getting paid between 60 and 70, but more importantly, he's getting paid more than Kane. Have you heard the same thing?
I've heard a similar figure. Mm. It might be a little bit more than the second of the two figures you mentioned. And Darcy, you mentioned before about Brownie getting married. There was a figure attached to that function as well that was contributed to by the magazines. I believe it's in the similar zone.
Do you have more? Well, let's ask the other obvious question. How do the Shakers feel about the fact you're going in the ring?
I haven't discussed it with them, but I'd imagine if God's on your side, then you've got nothing to worry about.
Well, don't think they're not taking a slice of the pie, Howie. Please.
They take 20% of all
not about the money. And that's a ridiculous question you asked. Now Danny Green thinks I'm doing it for the money. I'm not getting paid anywhere near what Damo said.
What about his
and there is a community
look,
element to it that got me over the line.
Hey, he had a lot of confidence about Kane, Danny, didn't he?
Unnervingly so.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy. He's a self-proclaimed footy superstar.
I reckon I was probably the most influential player in the AFL.
He fears nothing and no one.
This is all off-air stuff that you're not allowed to talk about on air, but I've gone with it anyway.
And he sees the world a little differently.
Just watching a Komodo dragon eat a monkey.
This is Nathan Brown's Top 5.
Hot water needs replacing. Go for one that's steady, hot and strong. It's Australia's favourite water heater. You know who we're talking about. Built tough for Aussie conditions and manufacturing right here in Australia for over 80 years. When it comes to water heating, ask your plumber to install the room. Stephen Kernahan, not too far away here in the studio in Brisbane. But Noodles, it's your time.
Well, I missed you guys, as I said, off the top. So I thought I'd do the top five around the things that amuse me about the Friday huddle over the off-season. Now, done some research, I've asked a lot of people, text around, there's a few things I saw from my own eyes, but I'm going to start with you, Howard, because, as you know, I love your cricket commentary. Thank you, Nathan. I think you are this generation's Richie Benno.
Thank you, Nathan.
There's nobody who does it better. You get the big jobs, you're in the IPL, you get US dollars. but I've heard you've even inquired to Mike Hussey about having the nickname Mr. Cricket. I feel that's a bit disrespectful, but not all is well with some of your co-commentators.
They're right.
Now, I've been told by at least two, maybe even three, and maybe even a couple of producers, that you've been stealing commentary when you go on Triple M.
Oh, no.
And then repurposing it on Fox.
Oh, no.
Now, it's been alleged that sometimes you even talk before the third ball of a stint about your interviews on Fox when you're on there. So you come in, and it's the third ball of your whole stint, and you're already talking about what you've done on Fox Cricket. Could that be true?
That is 100%, because, to be fair, Fox is not that keen for me working for Triple M, so I get a couple of plugs away early, Nathan, with the answer to that.
So did you do an IPL auction live on air with the Triple M crew, and then the very next day an IPL live auction idea popped up on the Fox Cricket Lunch Show?
That's pretty accurate, Nate. Yeah. Listen, when you come off a month in India, you're calling the World Cup final, the IPL, the Test matches, the One Day.
Oh, he's dirtied up.
Across six different networks. I admit, sometimes you run a bit dry on content, Nate, and you have to recycle.
You've struck a nerve, Nate.
One more thing before I'm done with you.
And we know how thin this skin is with Howie. So he's
no,
just
I'm in complete agreement.
Who has the world record for the highest test innings, Chief?
Brian Lara.
He absolutely does. 401. So when you get interviewed or introduced as the greatest test run scorer of all time, you might want to do it better than this.
Good afternoon to Brian Taylor and Merv Hughes. G'day, Brian.
Good day. You talk about discipline.
Did I say Brian Taylor rather than Brian Lara? Sorry, Brian. Back to football. Brian Taylor is a big footy commentator. My apologies, Brian Lara.
That's fine.
Oh, boy.
He's respectful enough not to pick you up on it either. He was just happy to plough through, which...
Was that this season or last season, Ewan? Either season. Yeah, but as it's been a big summer and it's hard to dominate all day.
Okay, Chief. Everybody's fascinated what happens with you. I mean, you hibernate over the summer, except for the 8 weeks where you spend overseas with your brother skiing and whoever else. So you got your brother
in the spa.
But something happens to Chief when he travels. I don't know whether it's the real Chief that comes out. Remember two summers ago, he was sending us pictures of the Northern Lights.
He was telling us
how much he loved us and properly telling us he loved us.
I don't think I said that.
No, he absolutely did.
No, I don't think so.
I think you'd had a couple
in the spa.
Same thing happened this year. I mean, I'm not sure where he was, who he was with, or in particular what he was on, but he started to send pictures of pink animated cats to us over and over.
Oh, they went all night.
Cats were coming through, waving at us. I don't know what happens to you when you go overseas. Now, this is the real you, or you've been eating sausage rolls with Leroy. Just rolling up some big doobies.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You were sending pictures of animated cats. You got hacked.
It might have been hacked, but it was coming through all night. Yeah, it was. Well, one night it was.
Yeah. Don't claim you're hacked, Chiefy.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Well, what are animated cats?
You were texting us animated cats. Everyone got them.
We did.
What sort of dentist?
How do you get an animated cat?
Well, you probably, I don't know what you've been searching on your phone, Chief.
Were they clothed?
Before you go on, what about when we had our pre-season meeting? 9 o'clock last Friday morning. It's a Zoom meeting. Describe what our man came in from.
He had the doona over his head about 5 minutes into that meeting.
Well, if you're going to call crack of dawn meetings,
9 o'clock,
I was happy to make myself available, but don't expect me to be up.
And then the phone at one stage went down under the doona. I said, "What's going on?" "Oh, I can't be bothered to hold my phone up anymore," is what you replied with.
Okay, Duke. So, Dame, I'm going to ask you a question. What's the one rule that a female abides by when they go to a wedding?
When they go to a wedding?
Yeah.
Is it? Don't wear white.
You don't wear white to disrespect the bride. And there's an unspoken rule amongst men that you don't want to be dressed the same as the best dressed man at that wedding. So Duke rolled into James Brayshaw's wedding and he had the cream chinos with the ankle showing, a crisp white shirt with one too many buttons undone as well, and a pair of $900 white Golden Goose sneakers. And at this stage, Duke thinks that he's looking like Tom Brady. He's thinking maybe someone's going to mistake me for Tom Brady. Damo, who's the best looking man in world sport?
Well, you know who I think it is.
Who is it?
Brendan Julian.
Oh, yeah. So BJ, at the wedding, Brendan Julian rocks in
just about
with
the best bloke too, yeah.
Cream pair of chinos with the ankle showing. He's got a crisp white shirt with a couple of buttons undone. And he's also got the $900 white
Julian,
Golden Goose sneakers. Now, one of them looks like a Lamborghini. The other one's looking like a Prius. Standing next to each other. And it was just, come on, Duke.
I avoided him like the plague that night.
Never get on camera with Brendan Julian.
He is a good looking man.
He's beautiful looking.
And a lovely fella.
Good skin.
And at the same wedding, Damo, the Oxford Dictionary describes a social climber as one who tries to improve his or her social standing, especially by means of obsequious behaviour. What does obsequious mean? Excessively eager, attentive to please, obey instructions, fawning, subservient, ingratiating, sycophantic.
Are you still like me?
Or ass kicking? No, this is.
Oh, good.
So, this is what our man Damo has become. So, I was excited about going to the wedding and hanging out with Damo. But as soon as we walked in.
I'd had enough of you by then. We'd been to the races for two days.
He scattered. He was just gone. He was so shook. He made a beeline, first of all, for Gil McLaughlin. Then I saw him talking to Justin Langer. Then Adam Gilchrist, Mark Brayshaw, Brad Scott. Even your old sparring partner, Mike Fitzpatrick, was there. He was locked in. He had a hard tag on Gary Lyon. He's a social climber of the greatest concern.
Dennis Lilly.
And anyone Dennis that could Lilly. Help you, Dennis Lilly was there as well. Poor, I tell you what, we were that worried that you were going to lose yourself up Don Pike's backside at one stage. You were tagging him that hard. And then it all came undone because Janine's head was spinning. Janine didn't know, I've met this person. What's this person's name? When Janine said to Adam Gilchrist, excuse me, what do you do for a living? and Damo crumbled.
She actually did.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Preliminary final weekend, the Lions took on the Blues. The Lions got it done after the Blues kicked the first four or five. Both teams out on the ground now. And Brettie Thomas is down on the boundary with one of our favourites because he says it how it is, Brettie.
Howie, we've got Dane Zorko here. Zorks, appreciate you joining us so close to the first bounce. We've got Nathan Brown upstairs fighting Kane Corns in Adelaide in a few weeks. Your old teammate Mitch Robinson is jumping in with Kane Pennifer. What's he like with a pair of gloves on, old Robbo?
Pretty scary. I'm glad I'm not fighting him. I think once he sees red, it's going to be, it's going to be all sorts, really. But, look, you never know. It's a boxing match. I'm sure they both had a lot of training, and good luck to Kane.
And your pre-season, do you do anything differently? 13th year in the AFL, do you get the boxing gloves on? Swimming, do you mix it up? What do you do?
I'll tell you a little story. My first pre-season with the club, we had to fight in the ring with who you were next to with your numbers. So I'm obviously 15, so 14 was Brent Staker, 16 was Jonathan Brown. So there's your initiation for you. Haven't touched the glove since.
And that was after the Barry Hall incident.
Yeah, so I thought I was a chance. No. Nah, definitely not the boxing gloves for me. Just running and, a lot of footy skills. We tried a new thing this year where we do a lot more short-sighted games, which, you know, we think's held us in really good stead.
Have you enjoyed that side of it, Dane? I mean, Chris Fagan has spoken quite openly about some changes that have been inflicted upon the team and the outlook, and he said that he felt there was genuine benefit out of it and that you guys are going to hit this season quite fresh.
Oh, well, I hope so. We'll find out early, won't we? Definitely. It was a different way to approach a pre-season. I mean, normally you'd probably play five or six intra-club matches or do some form of intra-club matches, you know, throughout your training sessions. We pretty much put that right on hold until the week before Gold Coast. We had our first intra-club match, and from there we played the Gold Coast and then into Sydney, and the boys have pulled up really well off that. So, yeah, fingers crossed it's a new approach for us, and I guess we'll find out where we stand tonight.
So, Dane, it's a... You know, a pretty long campaign pre-season. Normally, most teams or most clubs have a theme. What's been the main focus for Brisbane from day one of pre-season?
Oh, I think for us, Jace, it's probably, you know, chasing that little 1% now. You know, our game plan seems to be in pretty good order. Offensively and defensively, stoppage has been a real strength of us over the last few years. So I think for us, it's about trying to chase those 1%ers, whether that's in throughout the games and doing little deals and stuff like that, or, you know, whether it's the way we move the ball, you know, from centre forward and stuff like that into our big men. So it's just little things that we've been trying to tweak that can give us a little bit of benefit. And hopefully, you know, all that hard work, which we've, you know, we put into practice over the last couple of weeks, tonight comes to the fore.
Zorks, players are playing longer. We saw Scotty Pendlebury last year. He's mid-30s, playing well. You're an ageing veteran at the moment, but your game's based on burst, and you're such an impact player. How does your training change over the pre-season to allow you to get enough into your body, but having enough rest as well?
Oh, it would have been great if they gave me a few days off here and there, Brownie, but unfortunately that wasn't the case. I feel re-energised. So, the last few years for me have been a little bit different. I haven't been able to train as much, but you know, I hit pre-season last year running really well. Obviously got my Achilles in order, and that's actually given me a new lease on life, to be honest with you. I feel like a completely different player, a different person, and my whole running gait's changed significantly. So, you know, I've wanted to get out there and train as much as I possibly can because I feel like I've missed so much over that three-year period since COVID. So I've done everything that the rest of the group's done, and I've loved every minute of it and seem to be pulling up really well. So, you know, hopefully Scotty can keep playing, and that probably helps my cause as well.
Dan, it's been quite refreshing how everyone attached to your footy club has dealt with the psychological trauma of losing your grand final by 4 points. You got the issues out 3 or 4 days after the game, and you've spoken about it publicly quite openly since. How did you go with it personally, given your involvement with the club from a very long time and through some really hard times?
Yeah, look, I was obviously disappointed, as we all were, but I'm also smart enough to realise we weren't the better team on grand final day, and the fact that we were still giving ourselves a chance late in the game was, you know, an incredible effort, but I can live with the fact that we weren't the better team on the day. Now, we need to change a lot of things, or not a lot of things, but we need to change and do things differently to get ourselves back into that position and give ourselves another opportunity, and that's what we've done. So, you know, we dealt with it, you know, straight after. We had a quick chat in the change rooms, and obviously there's a couple of days off there, and then we got together, we reviewed it really strongly, and then we've moved on. We've looked to where we can improve, and we've done that, and now we've got to, yes, we've got to go out and do it all again, but there's a lot of belief and a lot of confidence in this group that we can do it.
So, Dane, after you've seen what's happened throughout the course of pre-season with the playing group, who's the youngster that might only have a handful of games under his belt that is the next player for Brisbane to emerge and have a big 2024?
Yeah, look, Kyle Oman's in our squad tonight. He's going to be the sub, so he's the guy that's really put his hand up. James Tunstall, this is his third year on the list now. He's really impressed. Last week he was really good in the wet against Sydney. I call it the wet because it was slippery as anything, even though it was about 40 degrees. But and the other one's Harry Sharp. I mean, he came in his first season, he played the first few games, then went back to school and finished his schoolwork, got injured, and he's sort of been in our twos for the last few years, but he's put on a lot of size in the off-season, and his running capabilities are better than everyone. So I think he's got a really bright future, and he'll come in at some point this season, I've got no doubt, and have a real impact.
Chatting to Dane Zorko, who plays his 251st game tonight. Zorks, you've got a great habit in recent times of getting players to Brisbane, Joe Danaher, Link McCarthy, that were historically injured all the time, and they just play every week. Is there environment? Is it the sun? Is it what's the secret?
It's climate, there's no doubt about it. It's a lot hotter up here, no doubt, and boys want to get out of bed and train. There's no doubt about that. So, yeah, look, we've had a lot of success with that. I think a lot of credit should go to our physios and our medical team. They've done a fantastic job. Obviously, the training loads that, you know, our guys, as I've just spoiled a ball away. Yep. looking after Brady down here. All those guys deserve a really big pat on the back. They've been fantastic. Ever since all those guys have come to the club, and they've helped them significantly, prolong their career. You talk to someone like Hodgie and even Graham Birchall, you know, they pretty much only played their last few years at Hawthorn. They hardly trained, but what they were able to do when they came to Brisbane was they were trained a lot more, got that continuity back in their body, and they played a couple more years.
Dane, Mark out here. We always love speaking to you on the M's as we let you go. Best of luck tonight. Brown v. Corns in the ring. A, who do you think will win? B, who would you like to win?
Oh, I think Brownie will win. But just to stay on the safe side, I'll go for Kane.
And who would you like to win?
Yeah, Kane.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dane. Appreciate it. Good luck tonight.
See you guys. Thank you.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Brisbane versus Carlton. Mark Howard with you. Luke Darcy, Nathan Brown, Damian Barrett and Jason Dunstall, Stephen Kernahan and Ange Christou moments away from joining us in the box. But I'd be loving your thoughts. We'll start with you as an ex-Carlton fan on what we're going to see tonight. Noodles?
It's going to be a great game, and obviously the prelim was a brilliant game, but I worry about the Blues tonight. They've got some really good players, but I still think, it's only my personal opinion, that Jacob Wiedering's their most important player. I know they've got some great players through the midfield, and they've got Charlie Curnow up forward, but for me, Wiedering sets everything up and has done for the last 2 years, and he'd be the man going to Joe Danaher, who was in great form last season, and without Wiedering tonight, I just find it very hard to just hold the wall against the Brisbane Lions. I think they're going to get enough inside 50s, and their forward line, along with Eric Hipwood and Rayner and a lot of other players, are very, very good, Chief, and it's going to be hard to contain them. And he's a very good player, Jacob Wiedering.
All right, we always have a cult hero segment where former greats of the past roll in, and it gets none bigger than these two.
The Friday Huddle's cult heroes of the week played at the Blues together for 7 seasons, totalling 402 games between them and winning the 1995 Premiership.
The celebration's about to start for Carlton.
One of our heroes kicked 5 goals that day.
Kernahan off the ground. Carlton are playing in.
And the other had to put up with a cheap shot from Triple M's Billy Brownless.
Christou, also excellent as the siren sounds.
They've likely still never had to pay for a meal on Lygon Street since then. Please welcome Ange Christou and Stephen Kernahan.
Legends of the Carlton Football Club. Ange, not instantly recognisable because the last time I saw a photo of him here at the Gabba, he didn't have a shirt on, but he's got a shirt on now. Ange Christou and Steve Kernahan, welcome to the Friday Huddle, a treat for us all. Sticks, you got the mic. Welcome along. How are you going?
Thanks, Howard. Good to see you, boys. A couple of great players here. Good crew. Jason Dunstall, great man.
Stop it, Sticks.
Kicked a lot of goals. Too much for my liking, but great man.
Hey,
there's only one legend, and that's Sticks.
That's hard to come back from that. You guys obviously take a keen interest in what's happening with the Blues, and it's been a battle in recent years, but it looks like the ship's been righted, and it's trending in the right direction. Confidence levels heading into this season?
I saw the last two games, the Melbourne, 20 inside 50 marks, wasn't that great, but we lost a couple of players, didn't we?
Mm.
Wettering and Walsh, bad loss. Marchbank as well, Jack Martin as well. So probably not our best running in this game, but look, anything can happen around one. I played with Greg Swan golf today.
You lost, we heard. Sticks.
Yeah, we heard lost. You lost.
We actually heard you lost
did
today.
Did Swan bring that through? I can't believe it.
No, we got a photo sent through.
Someone you were speaking to about half an hour ago told us.
Is that right? So I think they lost their last four or five first round games, so we're holding on to that.
Hey, Ange, being here prelim final late last year, you could sense the Carlton army was back in full voice, kicked the first five goals. And for those that didn't know your era where Carlton dominated everything, was it great to see the army back at its best again, Ange?
It was great. I did come and watch the game last year with all my friends, and I did tell them just be calm. They'd already penciled in that, you know, we're going places. And I said, mate, just calm down. I think Brisbane will come back. I don't know if they'll win, but they did. But I've seen... I'm lost for words, mate. I've had a big day. I have jumped on the wagon because I've been out of the game for 22 years, and it's been tough because I've travelled the world and only just came on board the last 2 years. So I've jumped on the wagon. Who knows if the gods are crazy, mate? So today could be the day.
Take you back to 95 and you win the premiership. Who leads the charge? We had Camporelli in the finals last year. There was also Brad Pearce. And Pearcey said he was the glue that held the whole club together through that 95 season. So who leads the charge once you've won the premiership?
Well, the guys in the experienced blokes after that, Brent. You know, we go on a trip, have a great week or two. Josh has played, how many flags, Josh?
Four.
So we played in a few. I only played in two, but... they're hard to win, aren't they great? They're the first week or two after that. Then you've got a footy trip with your mates. That's the best thing in life you can do.
Was that one better than 1987, Sticks? Because the man you were just referring to, Chief, didn't take his place in the Hawthorn team that day, and that delights you on the morning of that game.
Yeah, no one would have beaten Carlton in 1987.
Thank God for that, but they got us in 1986. But they're great days, and we're huge rivalry, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
We used to meet the Metro Pub many nights, Collins Street in the old days, and discuss those things. And we weren't far apart in those days. What great sides they were.
It was a fun time to play, and we all socialised off field as well, which I think showed the respect amongst the players as well.
And like the footy trips, Damien, what we were talking about was like, that's what they're all about. Mates, we didn't take 20 people, we took 40 people. And Bear and I, Agent Gleason and I, used to raise the money or do some things to raise money, get all the kids there and have 10 days away, how good they were.
You still do that, don't you, as a group? Not every year, but quite regularly.
We've got golf trips and all that sort of thing, and our spirit of Carlton thing's pretty good. I think we like to think that we're pretty good amongst the whole, how many clubs we've got? 18 clubs now. And I think our spirit of Carlton's pretty close and tight. It's a good thing.
And you were just talking about travelling the world for 20-odd years. Where have you been? What have you been doing, mate?
A bit of Europe, mate. So I started in Greece.
Got married?
Yeah, got married. Fortunately, unfortunately. We're happy and we're married. So one's happy and one's married. I started in Greece for 5 years. Actually, I went cold turkey. So
yep.
I, 2003, just hopped on a plane and told Mum and Dad I'm going for good.
Yep.
And 5 years later, so I bought into a business in Mykonos.
Yep.
Had a nice little restaurant there. And I had to come back quite quickly because Dad was ill.
Okay.
So came back. Kuta gives me a call and says, I have a proposition for you, so come and help me out with Souvlaki Hut, but we're not going to discuss that. We're not going to give that any airtime.
And then you travelled again?
Travelled again back to London and just worked on the Olympics. I was living with a friend there for a couple of years in London.
What were you doing on the Olympics?
Working for a cleaning company.
Right.
Yeah, so that was quite good. Where was I working? At the village.
Right.
The Players' Village, yeah. Yep. So brushing shoulders with all the greats
of
the world. Yeah, it was fantastic. And then I went to Sweden and, you know, obviously Europe's just around the corner.
Yep.
So
every
3 hours, you know, you're in a different country, different culture, different climate, different food. So I loved that and then came back. So my motto is just you kind of work 3-4 years and have 3-4 years off.
Oh, I like it.
And then I came back when I did come back for good, you know, helping Mum out. I met my wife at her restaurant, which she still has today, and I bought next door.
What are the names of the restaurants, Ange?
Hers is Degani, Northcote Degani. Yep. I bought next door 6 years later, which is 4 or 5 years ago, so I kind of bought it the worst time. Just pre-COVID. So I had five months of normality, and then COVID hit. So I had to, just build relationships and rapport with people and, clean and cook and, wash dishes and deliver. But it's all come good now. Five years down the track, 4.5 years down the track, it's been pretty good. So it's called North Seafood Bar and Grill. And I took a bullet basically for my wife because I didn't want her to go head-to-head with anybody next door.
Can you tell us what's happened to your mate Diesel? Because we get him on a fair bit and he's never given anything. But the last couple of times he's come on, he's been a comedian. Like, he has been the entertainment. What's happened to him?
Nothing. I played a bloke called Bruce Dorr who didn't speak for many years. And Greg, when he came to Carlton, thought, this bloke doesn't speak to anyone. So we became great mates. When he finished playing, I can't shut up now. As you blokes have heard, he tells you, he says, I had 53 possession, I kicked six, I did that sort of stuff. We can't talk about it. He can. Jason, we don't talk about it. You kick 19 one day. You never talk about it. But there's a weird man, lovely bloke. We love him. He's now the director of footy at Carlton. The first bloke who got paid for money on the board.
That's right.
I did that role for many times. I never paid a
cent. How did he get that look?
Well, that's the way it was. The money's chasing money, Jason, as you know.
Come on, dude.
We've got to let these gentlemen go. Always a treat to chat to legends, but Blues fans love these tours to football fans. Stephen Kernahan, Ange Christou. When's the restaurant? Where do we book?
Northcote Plaza.
We'll get in there. Seafood, the works.
Still got the hair too, Howie.
Yeah,
looks good. Tommy, have a look at it.
And had the shirt off at the footy yesterday. And looked $1 million. Yeah. Thanks to both you gentlemen for coming
guys.
In. That Thank is you. Ange Christou and it is Stephen Kernahan.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Howie's Hot Topics.
When Das nervously looks at his phone because he hasn't reviewed the stats as we are leading up to Brisbane taking on Carlton. All right, Hot Topics, it's back and why wouldn't it be? We'll start with you, Chiefy. Virgin Airlines have announced on certain domestic flights they're going to allow pets on the plane. So I read some more about it. It's a small cat or it's a small dog. It has to be enclosed and below your feet. So it's not roaming free around the aeroplane per se.
Yeah, of course they're not.
Yes. Do we think this is a good thing or a bad thing, Chief? If you sat down and someone had a little chihuahua next to you on the plane, are you positive or negative on this?
Well, let's be honest. I mean, I haven't got a great problem with it. What if there's a crying baby next to you? Is it any different? Yeah.
And you do like
I just caught a domestic flight in the States in the last few weeks, and there was a dog on the flight on someone's lap.
Okay.
So they do it over in the States already.
All through Europe, you walk into a restaurant, you can be in a fine dining restaurant, someone walk in with a Labrador. I'm all for it, except Dennis the staffy, behaviourally having issues at the moment.
They'd want to be house trained, wouldn't they?
Correct.
Yeah, you wouldn't want.
But some people treat their pets like children. They don't have children, they have pets,
I'm all for it.
Damo?
No, I've got a dog. I love my dog, but I wouldn't let my dog loose.
Okay, the protesters that blocked the Westgate Bridge the other day and brought Melbourne to a standstill. The judiciary system sought to jail them for 21 days. They have appealed.
Not long enough, Howard.
Well, we'll start with you, Nate. I want a number. More or less, let them off, send them to jail. How long? What do you think?
A couple of years, I think.
Couple of years.
Absolutely. It's just ridiculous.
The penalty's wrong. Put them to work. Community service. Get something out of them. They don't understand the damage they're doing. People could get sacked from their job because they don't get
a
to work.
A lady had a baby on the
she
ring
did.
Road.
And that was the serious
issue. And they think they're making some great point. And all they are doing is wrecking people's lives on that particular day. So I want them put to work. Get something positive out of them. Get them out working. Get them out clean. I don't care what it is. Get them to actually contribute to the society instead of being professional protesting bums.
Can I say, too, if there's a bit of force required to get them off the roof of a truck, I wouldn't have a major problem with that at that point in time.
Get the hose out.
Okay. What about you, Dave?
Hose is a good idea.
I think Chief summed that up fairly well, Howie. I'm all for being able to protest, but that is the wrong way to go about it. Shutting down the city is not on.
A serious one, but a sticky one, because you've got to let justice take its path. Sam Kerr, who is out injured from the Matildas with an ACL, so she's not playing at the moment. Damo.
Yep.
If you are in charge of the FFA,
yes.
Is Sam Kerr remaining captain of the Matildas?
I think your pertinent point there was justice has to be seen to be served out. And I want to say that because we don't know how this case is going to play out. So we'll leave the legalities and who said what and who's going to deny what to a point of view. But from a sporting perspective, and correct me if I'm misreading what I believe I've taken in on this case, she neither alerted Chelsea Football Club...
Or the FFA.
Or the FFA or the Australian operations. So from a sporting perspective, I would feel that those organisations, and you've referred it to the FFA, I would feel they could come in, in fact, should come in and do whatever they wanted to do under their control of the sport.
Is she remaining captain, yes or no?
No.
Okay.
Well, the problem is we have a judicial system that's taken 12 months to lay a charge. Mm-hmm. And they sit there and say, oh, we couldn't work out what charge it was going to be. That's absolute crap. I mean, let's be brutally honest. They just didn't get around to it for whatever reason, or they didn't cover their bums. But if they're saying they've got body cam proof, there's something there to be judged. But how do you make a decision until it's been resolved? Yeah. I mean, where's the innocence until proven guilty?
She stays captain, Howie. I mean, you get a credit sheet in life and you get your other side, and she has put that much credit into the game. Let's say she has made a mistake.
Can I just jump in, though, Dust? You're a board member of a club, and if Marcus Bontempelli, the captain of your club, had got himself involved in a police incident, I would imagine you'd like to have a line of sight on it.
You'd like to, of course you would.
And that's how he's asking.
I'm asking on balance, the credit that someone puts in life. I mean, put your hand up if you haven't made a mistake or a blue. And so Sam Kerr's contribution as captain and leader of Australian soccer, of the Matildas, fair credit sheet, she would be allowed a mistake, I would have thought.
Yeah, and I wonder if the onus would then fall on her to step down if she thought there was going to be more to it, or if there's complete confidence that everything's going to be cleared up. Well, then
answer your own question, please, Howard.
I think she should, as she's not playing, just say, oh, I'm innocent. I don't want to bring the sport into disrepute in the interim. I'll get through my court case and take over when I'm found not guilty.
Don't do anything until the court case is over.
Yeah. We'll take a break here. We'll take a break, and then we get into full game preview mode.
The Triple M Footy Friday Huddle for the TAC. Don't take risks while driving. Chances are you'll be caught. A message from the TAC. For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.